in now as sort of a special bonus for those who actually have taken the time to check the archives for this Bathrop Spears Broadside show. Here's a story that I read on Joe Williams' Facebook page, Real History Memorial Day was born in struggle against the Klan, something I'd not been aware of, a story by Art Shields from the Communist Party's Daily Worker. According to this, Art Shields, 1888 to 1988, wow, he lived a long time, was the Daily Worker's greatest labor reporter. Let's hear what he had to write. Not forget that Memorial Day, which we celebrate on Monday, belongs to the foes of racism. The day people place flowers on the graves of fallen veterans was founded by the enemies of the Ku Klux Klan. Memorial Day belongs to the democratic traditions of the American people. I want to interrupt here and say I'm no fan of Memorial Day. The original Memorial Day was my mother's birthing day, or my birthday, on May 30th, but it's celebrating and remembering the murderous victims of wars as a way of celebrating the soldiers who killed them is completely ridiculous. It's insane in the most toxic way, but nonetheless, it sprang out of the war against the hooded terrorists of the South who sought to reestablish slavery on American soil. American right-wingers and false patriots try to hide the real story of the birth of Memorial Day in 1868. At the time, Major General John A. Logan, the father of Memorial Day, was in the thick of the fight against the Ku Klux Klan when he issued the first call for May 30th celebrations. Memorial Day got moved to the Monday after the weekend so that it could be sort of conveniently celebrated and workers could get back to work and doing their what I consider slave labor work for the little pieces of paper that enable us to survive and enable so few to profit so much. Anyway, continuing, General Logan was the head of the Grand Army of the Republic, the first Civil War Veterans Association. He was one of the outstanding heroes of that four-year-long struggle, the American Civil War. Logan was a citizen soldier, enlisting as a private in a Michigan regiment. He fought in the first great battle of Bull Run in 1861, while such rich families like the Rockefellers, the Morgans and the Carnegies were buying substitutes to bleed in the stead. Logan was wounded at Fort Donelson. By 1862, he was a major general, and in 1863 he was marching through Georgia at the head of a division of anti-slavery troops. That is because, well, Emancipation Proclamation was indeed issued, you know, in 1863, but of course it freed no slaves in the North. But it did announce slaves in the South were freed as a way of essentially luring foreign powers not to support the Confederacy, as well as to recognize that the Union could use some more bodies to do the killing. Anyway, victory won and the slave owners smashed. Logan and his soldiers came home in triumph, and then an assassin's bullet laid President Abraham Lincoln low, and the small-minded Vice President Andrew Johnson became president. Actually, Lincoln was not that big of a mind either in terms of granting the kinds of powers to men and women of color, particularly, or even just men of color. As some history books have traditionally put it, he was originally a white supremacist. He probably remained a white supremacist most of his life, but he did eventually give up his send them back to Africa schemes. That was some of what Lincoln was trying to do. He was fighting to preserve the power of the federal government and the Union, not to free the slaves, until that became a necessary part of the whole thing. Anyway, the story of Memorial Day continues. Logan returned to Congress, from which the war had taken him, to make sure that the slave owners would not slip back into power. Denounced by slave masters, they began to slip back in with the help of President Andrew Johnson, who sabotaged the fight against the rising Ku Klux Klan. Logan believed in showing no mercy to rebellious slave owners, who organized mobs to whip and lynch black and white Republicans, and then the anti-slavery party in the South. That is to say, the Klan organized those mobs. His speeches were full of bitter denunciations of the slave masters. Following the lead of Congressman Thaddeus Stevens, the great anti-slavery Republican of Pennsylvania, Logan was soon in a clash with President Johnson. The fight for power between President and Congress came to a head when Johnson fired Secretary of War Stanton, who was directing the military to fight against the Klan. First Memorial Day. Stevens and Logan and their fellow progressives almost had Johnson fired in the impeachment trial that followed. Johnson was impeached by the House, but by one vote he survived conviction in the Senate, just as Clinton survived conviction in the Senate after being impeached in the House of Representatives in the late 90s. Just one Senate vote saved the little man's job in the spring of 1868. While that fight was underway, General Logan saw that the minds of the masses of the American people must be reawakened to the ideals for which the Civil War against slavery was fought. In the thick of the impeachment trial against Johnson, he helped work out the idea of a Memorial Day to honor the heroes of the bloody battlefields of Bull Run, Shiloh, Gettysburg, and a few hundred other theaters of war. All over the North, on May 30, 1868, Americans marched to the graves of their veteran dead, strewing flowers and singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, John Brown's Body, and other Civil War songs. What it meant. War orphaned children were the center of the celebration at the Arlington National Cemetery near Washington. Memorial Day helped serve the political purposes of the progressives in Congress. It helped them generate mass support for the fight to reconstruct Southern political life on a democratic basis. It helped postpone, for a few years at least, the return of the Southern oligarchy and the overthrow of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Those are the amendments that are respectively the right for blacks to vote, but not women, the 14th Amendment due process, which requires the states to respect the laws and the rights and the citizenship of blacks, and the 15th Amendment, which gives them, actually the 13th Amendment freed them from slavery, the 14th gave them equality under the law, and the 15th gave them the right to vote. Sorry about that. For years to come, Memorial Day speeches expressed some of the purest ideals of American democracy. At these annual celebrations, people like Oliver Wendell Holmes, not yet a Supreme Court justice, voiced their opposition to slavery, and men like Logan himself warned against the suppression of liberty in the South. At a Memorial Day celebration in 1882, Colonel Robert J. Ingersoll, great veteran of the Civil War, said of American liberty, "Today we reverently thank the abolitionists. Earth has produced no grander men, no nobler women. The radicals of the South said, no union without slavery. The radicals of the North replied, no union without liberty. The Northern radicals were right. Upon the great issue of free homes for free men, a president was elected by the free states." Actually, he simply was elected, that was Lincoln, on the basis of no spreading of slavery to the territories, but keeping slavery in the South. The South appealed to the sword and raised the standard of revolt because they wanted to spread slavery to the territories and take over other parts of the adjacent world like Cuba and Mexico and places like that. Nicaragua, even. For the first time in history, the oppressor rebelled. I don't know if it was the first, but the first shot liberated the North. Constitutions, statutes, and decisions, compromises, platforms, and resolutions made, passed, and ratified in the interest of slavery became mere legal lies. And that didn't happen overnight, actually, with the first shot. That's not accurate. Spent some time to make sure that the three states who had remained neutral, Kentucky, Missouri, and Maryland, not join the Confederacy, by allowing them to keep their slaves, even though historically, of course, Lincoln is portrayed as the great emancipator of slaves. It's instantly resolved that freedom should not perish and that slavery should not live. There was a lot of actual resistance to the drafts that were done, but there was, I think, anger at the rebellion of the South. Millions of our brothers, our sons, our fathers, our husbands answered to the nation's call. See, this is the Communist Party somewhat slanting the issue, I think, or this writer anyway. Referring to the flags planted on the soldiers' graves, Colonel Ingersoll wrote, or said, I should say, "This flag means free hands, a free government, universal education." And of course, that was what the federal government tried to implement throughout the South after the Civil War for 10 years under the so-called Reconstruction period, when the South was occupied militarily by troops to essentially defend blacks against the old oligarchy, which, though it had lost the Civil War, it really retained a lot of power. And it kept threatening to come back, and in fact, it ultimately did come back, and lynched and expropriated and criminalized blacks throughout the South for 100 years. And, of course, it's happening throughout the country still today. If you look at how police discriminatorily treat and kill black people who are suspects of such things as, you know, failing to turn on their turn signal and things of that sort. Or not stopping and walking away from the police. "It means," he said, this story continues about the Memorial Day history, "that Americans have the right to change their government when they want to. The right-wing extremists and fascists of today would suppress these Memorial Day ideals, but we will work to answer them this Memorial Day as we pledge ourselves anew to freedom. The traditions of our revolutionary history are on the side of the fight against fascism, and Memorial Day is our day." This is an excerpted version of an article that first appeared in the Daily Worker on May 29, 1937, under the headline, "Memorial Day Belongs to the Foes of Fascism." Well, it certainly was created, if some of these facts are right, in the tradition of Republican Reconstruction of the 1860s and early 1870s, which, frankly, I've long been a fan of, even though I certainly wouldn't have liked to live in an area where federal troops were enforcing laws against the local population. That's kind of a strange, it's a contradiction for me about that, but I also appreciate the fact that they were upholding the rights of African Americans to be able to live without being lynched, having their schools burned, having their legislature terrorized, because blacks actually got elected to state legislatures and the federal legislature during the period from 1865 to 1877. And that was a little bit of another side of Memorial Day. From The People's World, Real History, Memorial Day Was Born in Struggle Against the Klan by Art Shields.